الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وطبيب نفوسنا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم محمد اللهم صل على محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم لا سيما بقية الله روحي وأرباح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء. قال الله الحكيم في كتابه الكريم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم الله نور السماوات والأرض مثل نوره كمشكات فيها مصباح المصباح في زجاجة الزجاجة كأنها كوكب دري يوقد من شجرة مباركة زيتونة لا شرقية ولا غربية يكاد زيتها يضيء ولو لم تمسزه نار نور على نور يهدي الله لنوره من يشاء ويضرب الله الأمثال للناس والله بكل شيء عليم صلوا على محمد وآل محمد Respected scholars, all brothers and sisters in Islam and Iman, Assalamu alaikum jami'an wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Before I start sharing my topic for tonight, inshallah, with you, just a quick reminder to myself and all of you that tomorrow night, make it or break it. Tomorrow night, the night of 23rd of the month of Ramadan, most likely the actual night of Qadr, the night that inshallah our destiny all in good will be written. Let us prepare ourselves, and the preparation should have started from beginning of the month of Ramadan, but in the last minute I like to make this announcement for myself. Let us prepare ourselves. We have only one night left. If there is any issue, and today in Masjid Bahman I mentioned, I didn't want to take your time, as I had reminded you, inshallah you remember, and myself last year, please let's spend some time tonight. And with all this communication means available to us, if there is any issue, any resentment between me and anyone, that in somehow, and give like somehow be critical on yourself, that there is a chance that I have broken anyone's heart, and or there is any, I don't know, sour relation between me or anyone, especially if that person is a near of the kin. Kinship, Salatul Rahim, I'm talking about. If, God forbid, anyone has caught their relation with the with one of their relatives, that they have a blood relation, or even according to majority of our scholars, even if you don't have blood relation, but your relation comes through marriage, still they are relatives of you. Your mother-in-law, and hence you say mother-in-law in the law of Islam, father-in-law in the law of Islam. Okay, tonight is the opportunity to seek each other's forgiveness, put the past behind, inshallah, and say, Ya Rab, with my little ability I forgave, in return I'm expecting you to forgive me. So that inshallah tomorrow night when we come to this Husayniyyah seeking God's forgiveness, we show and we say that, Ya Rab, I value forgiveness. Forgiveness in my principle is a virtue, and that's why someone who supposedly was unfair to me, I let go of it and I forgave and I cleaned my heart about them. In return, Ya Rab, you also forgive me. And I'm sure you all appreciate that there is big difference, there's no comparison in fact, between me forgiving someone and God forgiving me, inshallah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. The ayah that I just started my talk with recited is in Surah An-Nur, chapter 24 of the Quran, ayah number 35, for those who want to refer to the Quran later on, or some of the sisters, they said on a spot they check it on their mobile if they have Quran app or something. Surah An-Nur is called Surah An-Nur because of this ayah 35. And you all appreciate that the Holy Quran is Noor. وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكُمْ نُورًا Not only Noor, Nooran Mubina, a very manifest Noor. Quran is Noor, manifest and clear Noor. And there is obviously a surah known as Surah An-Nur, and Surah An-Nur is called Surah An-Nur because of Ayah An-Nur, that inshallah we want to see if we can learn about its meaning and guidance inshallah tonight. The reason that I decided to share this gift with you from the Holy Quran inshallah tonight, because we are almost in the heart and in the night of the Quran, the night of Qad, the blessed night of Qad. Tomorrow night there is no time advice because there's so many programs and things to do tomorrow, so the lecture tomorrow will be short. Therefore, consider this for tomorrow night or tonight the same. We are within the nights of Qadr, so I think it's very good to learn from one of the most important ayat in the Holy Quran, known as Ayah Noor in Surah Noor. It's Quran is Noor. This surah and this ayah is Noor, and therefore tonight we are on Noorun ala Noor, light on the top of the light. Quickly, I translate the ayah in English and try to explain the parable, so-called parable that the Almighty God has explained to us in this ayah. And this ayah, in a nutshell, by the way, is talking about one of the most sublime and profound aspects of knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the essence of God. So this ayah, you can regard it as one of the ayat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about monotheism or the existence of God in a very profound fashion. Allah nur as-samawat wal-ard. Allah is the nur of the heavens and the earth. We come back to this nur. We have so much inshallah to learn about it. For now, God is the nur of the heavens and the earth. In this expression, when Quran says that the heavens and the earth, and in similar situations, God is talking about His creation. The creation of God consists of physical and metaphysical world. Earth is the expression for the whole world of matter, that is still the boundary is unknown. And heavens is the expression for the world beyond the world of matter. So Allah Noor as-samawat wal-ard, it means Allah is the Noor of His entire creation. What is Noor? I don't understand. What do you mean by Noor? مَثَلُ نُورِهِ كَمِشْكَاتٍ الْمِشْكَاتُ فِي كَمِشْكَاتٍ فِيهَا مِصْبَاحٍ. From here, Quran starts giving us a parable, example. I need to make a quick detour. Elderly people, they remember this. I remember my childhood also, at least in my country of origin, houses were like this. I suppose by and large many places were like this. In the old days when there was no electricity, back then, of course, my childhood, there is this electricity. I'm not that old. I'm only 30-something, deducting some part of it. But in the old days that they were building the houses, usually the widths of the walls were quite wide. And inside the walls, they would make a cavity, recess, or like something like a shelf as part of the wall, but there would be like a hollow that they would use it as a shelf for decoration if they wanted to put something for display, and also mainly to put light. No electricity, so the light that they used to use those days was what we call it oil lamp. Oil lamp would consist of a wick, that core, that the top of it they would light up, and then there was a container underneath of it, usually having the fuel. Now, as Quran says, and the history also has mentioned, the best fuel that they would use if they wanted to have the best fuel for that oil lamp, they would use olive oil. Why olive oil? Because olive oil didn't have any scent, in case some people were sensitive to the smell of it, and also no smoke. So because it was smoke-free and scent-free, olive oil would be the best fuel to use. So they would put that wick in it, the top of it they light it up. Also, to make sure that the wind is not blowing it, that they don't lose the light, they would put a lid, a glass lid kind of, like a cover. Alright? Putting it on that shelf that Quran refers to as meshkat, or you call it niche, or that kind of shelf. Now, with this little explanation, let's go to the ayah translation, and then we go to the layers of the meaning. الله نور السماوات والارض مثل نوره the parable of the نور of God is كمشكات مشكات is that niche that cavity that shelf فيها مصباح in which there is an oil lamp المصباح في زجاجة as I told you that lamp or that light they would put a lid a glass lid crystal clear so clear like some glasses the door glasses that are so clear often you don't even notice there is a glass you may hit it that Quran says that that glass is crystal clear like as if there is no glass the more clear it is the more light will spread around obviously المصباح في زجاجة زجاجة is that glass cover از زجاجتو که انها کوکب دریون That glass is so crystal clear like a brilliant star Alright که انها کوکب دریون یوقد من شجرت مبارکه زیتونه Then God says that the fuel of that oil lamp is زیتون olive What kind of زیتون? A blessed olive oil. Why blessed? Literally, for the time being, I'm just giving a literal translation of it. Then we go to the layers of the meaning. Why is it blessed? لا شرقیتن ولا غربیه. Nor western, nor eastern. Explanation again requires to go to the garden. Trees that are in the garden, obviously fences or walls were surrounding the garden, my garden from your garden. Trees that they are on the side of the garden, closer to the walls, naturally they get less sunlight. Whereas the trees that are right in the middle of the garden, they get the more sunlight from the morning to the later in the afternoon. No matter where the sun is, this tree that is right in the middle of the garden gets more of the sun rays and lights. Therefore, the fruits of these trees are usually better than the fruits of trees on the sides of the garden. Am I making any sense? So, لا شرقیتن ولا غربیه. God says that imagine a garden surrounded by walls. If this tree is located easternward, so when the sun is in the sky going to the west, it gets the sun. But in the beginning, like in the morning, doesn't get much sunlight. Or vice versa, if this tree is on the western side of the garden, closer to the side of that side of the walls, again in the afternoon gets less sunlight. So لا شرقية ولا غربية. Imagine an olive tree right in the middle of the garden that gets the best of the sunlight. Therefore, the fruit, meaning the olive of this tree, is the best. Whether you want to eat it or you want to use it as olive oil. لا شرقية ولا غربية يكاد زيتها يضيء. We light this that wick that I told you to make light for the house. But even the olive, the fuel of that oil lamp is so clear, is so pure that as if itself is also a nur, a light. Because the oil is so, the oil is so pure, like virgin olive oil, double virgin, I call it. It's so pure that it's just like as if there is a light. It's a fuel, but itself is shining. So Quran says, يَكَادُ زَيْتُهَا يُضِي Almost the zayt, the olive also is glowing forth, shining. یکاد و زیتها یودی ولو لم تمسس هنارون Don't get me wrong. We have not put any light on the oil, on the olive, on the fuel. Because of its purity, it's shining and glowing. ولو لم تمسس هنارون So what we have? نورون علا نور. The fuel is so pure and just glowing, so نور. We light the top of the wick, therefore there is a نور. نورون علا نور. نور على نور then Quran says يهد الله لنوره من يشاء the Almighty God guide by its نور whoever he wills ويضرب الله الأمثال للناس God gives parable for mankind to reflect through these parables those spiritual real concept will be delivered better والله بكل شيء عليم and God is all aware of everything. This was just a translation so that the whole idea of the ayah is understood. صلوا على محمد وعلى محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد. محمد محمد. Lest I forget, let me tell you something about the virtues of recitation and the merit of recitation of this Ayah Nur that is worth. This is one of the gems of the Quran, ayat of the Quran that I always recommend the youngsters to memorize them, elderly people to memorize them. If there is an ayah in the Quran, and all of them of course are good to memorize, that is must to memorize is this Ayah Nur. So profound in the meaning, but so beneficial. Hafizahullah Ayatollah Hassanzadeh, my teacher in philosophy Irfan, he was saying that continuously, like on daily basis, the more the merrier. You read this Ayah Nur, the more inkishaful haqa'iq will happen to you, meaning that the more the veils of darkness will be removed from your inner senses. The more of the reality of this world that Quran refers to as malakut as-samawat wal-ard will be shown to you. So this is one of the benefits of knowing and recitation of Ayah Nur. On this Ayah Nur, that for at least the last two decades, without an exaggeration, time and again I've been studying about this, and throughout my Islamic studies I've come across different branches of Islamic sciences. Subhanallah, you see that jurists, you see mufassirin of course, you see linguistics, these are without say, also some of the muhaddithin, the eminent muhaddith like Allama Majlisi rahmatullah alayhi, has written a book about the explanation of this ayah from his own angle of narrations. You see the philosophers, there is a school in philosophy known as a school of illumination, Maktab al-Ishraq, inspired by this ayah, the founder of that school, Suhrawardi. Peripatetics, the philosophy of Mashah, Avicenna, known in the West as Avicenna or Ibn Sina, when he's talking about Uqul al-Sab'ain, Isharat and Tanbihat, the seven levels of intellect, he has taken it from this ayah. Irfan, Hadith, Wala Haraj, so much literature we have in Islamic mysticism with relation to this Ayatul Nur. One chapter of Fusus al-Hikam of Ibn Arabi, that is known as Fasa Yusufi, is about this ayah as well. So we can spend comfortably the rest of Ramadan with you about Ayah Nur, subject to your patience and interest. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Now let's start diving inshallah to the ayah as much as possible for us. الله نور السماوات والأرض. Allah is the نور of the heavens and the earth. And we learn that نور, it means السماوات والأرض, means the creation. One meaning on the surface of the نور, that God is the نور, and we have no doubt, I dua kumel every Thursday evening you read, we say يا نور يا قدوس, God is نور. Dua Joshan that we read last night, we read tomorrow maybe, يا نور النور يا منور النور يا نور ليس كمثله نور. So no question that Allah سبحانه وتعالى is نور, and this ayah confirms also as well, and other ayat of the Quran. What does it mean that God is نور? Undoubtedly, استغفر الله, we are not talking about the physical نور. This is out of question. Okay, so one meaning of Allah نور السماوات والأرض, as Imam Ridha عليه السلام also has given this meaning, it means Allah هاد السماوات والأرض. The Almighty God is the guide to His creation. Moses, when was talking to Pharaoh and was trying to invite him to Islam, says according to the Quran Surah Taha, ربنا الذي أعطى كل شيء خلقه ثم هدى. Our Lord, if you want to know who He is the one who has created all that exists and then guided them. Who is and how does the earth know how to move around itself on its own orbit, eight different motions? Look at the plants, look at the planets, look at the, like from the tiniest microscopic like animals to giant galaxies, all doing subhanallah, oh there is a design. Anytime you see a design, rest assured there is a designer behind it. Who is holding the remote controller? As I always say, you see the fingerprint of God on all that exists.
ربنا الذي اعطى كل شيء خلقه ثم هدى. It is God who is guiding them, inspiring them, is controlling them. As he is controlling us and guiding us how to live our life, ants also as well, other animals, everything else in this universe beyond our imagination. So one meaning of God, Nur in the ayah, Allah Nur al-Samawad, easy to understand. You say God is the guide for all that he has created. It's not that he created and left it to us to come up with legislations, live and learn. No, God has inspired us and has given us instruction. Instinctively, we know how to live our life if we want to follow our intact instinct. Proving that is that towards the end of the ayah, you see that Quran says, "Yahdi Allahu lenurihi man yasha." God is guiding by His nur whoever He wills. So He's talking about guidance. "Yahdi Allahu lenurihi man yasha." Proving that 3-4 ayat after this, God gives the opposite example. What is the opposite of nur in Arabic? At least in English, what's the opposite of light? Darkness. What is the opposite of nur? Zulmat. Ayatul Kursi, that you know it of. Quran, few ayat after this, gives the other side, shows the other side of the story, talking about the kuffar that rejected the nur and the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Quran says that example is the example of someone. Now you are living in an island, you can imagine this, and I never wish that happens to any of us, inshallah. Right in the middle of the ocean, you are on the ship, and even Titanic sinks, and now at night time, waves on the top of the waves. Very cloudy night, rainy, thunder, darkness of the night. No living soul is around there to help me. Quran says that, and you drown, and you are going down. إِذَا أَخْرَجَ يَدَهُ لَمْ يَكَدْ يَرَاهَا. He is taking his hand out for help. Even it's so pitch dark black that he cannot even see his own hand. Let alone somebody else sees him to come and grasp him. ظُلُمَاتٌ بَعْضُهَا فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ. Darkness on the top of the darkness. Then Quran says that, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ نُورًا فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ نُورٍ. Whoever God has not made nur for him, there is no nur for him. What does it mean? Whoever that God has not guided him, no one else can guide him. How is it possible that God doesn't guide everyone? We just quoted in Surah Taha that whoever God has created, guided them. Yes. Whoever God has not guided them, meaning that God says, I gave you the guidance, you rejected it. Now that you rejected it, when you reject my guidance, when you reject the instinct that I instilled within you, who else can help you? My friend, if you don't help yourself, nobody else can help you. Example I usually give, those who are asleep, you can wake them up. Ignorant people, you can educate them. But the one who plays a game, pretends that he is asleep, you can't wake him up because he doesn't want to wake up. Kuffar, in the real definition of a kafir, is the one, not the one who is ignorant, is the one who is arrogant. Because he's arrogant, Quran even is telling the Prophet, don't waste your time with them. They don't want to wake up. Okay, so Allahu Nur as-samawati wal-ard means God is the guide for all that they exist. And to that level, in as much as, again, as an example, the nur of the sun is nur, and other nurs like this nur also is nur, Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, because of their close relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have been illuminated from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have taken that nur. In Ziyarat Amirul Mu'mineen, that he is buried tonight, Salamullah alayhi sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. We say assalamu alayki ya nur Allah tam. Think about this. Assalamu alayk to Imam Ali alayhi salam. Ya nur Allah tam. Imam Ali is nur khuda. Nur Allah tam. Perfect nur of God. Because true that fingerprints of God are everywhere. Even if you are ready, you can learn from a dog. Guidance to God. Getting to know God. But when Imam Ali alayhi salam, that's why he's Ayatullah al-Kubra. The real Ayatullah al-Uzma, if you want to know, as the Rabayat says, the real Ayatullah al-Uzma or Ayatullah al-Kubra is Imam Ali alayhi salam. in his character. And that's what I told you, that priest, even he, when he heard the quotations from or the lifestyle of Amirul Mu'mineen, he said, it feels to me like you are talking about Jesus Christ. And it reminds them of God, godly people and things like that. Allah Nur al-Samawat wal-Ard, in a nutshell, one meaning of it is God is the guide. More. Now I want to go a little bit further down. Are you ready? The second meaning of Allah Nur al-Samawat wal-Ard, it means that God is the existence of all that exists. The essence of the existence of all that exists. I need to explain. If we want to define Nur, what is the meaning of Nur? Everybody knows. Kids, even they know what Nur is. But the reality of it is very difficult to explain. The same applies to existence. In defining Nur, usually in like comprehensive dictionaries, they say Nur al-Zahiru li-nafseh al-Mudhiru li-ghayre. Nur is something that it's, you can see it on by itself, but by Nur other objects will be seen. Very easy to understand it. Now that these lights are on, to see the light, you don't need a light, do you? You can look at the light and see them. But if this room is completely, there's no light in it, you can't see the carpet, you can't see the objects around. So these objects are not Nur, because you need Nur to see them. Whereas Nur, you don't need the Nur, any Nur to see them. So what is the definition of the Nur? Nur is something that you can see it by itself, and it enables you to see other objects. If you have an object like something like this, that it's appear by itself, but it makes other things appear, that is Nur. Am I making any sense? Now, philosophers or Arafa, they say this is exactly what the existence is all about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now question, do we need any proof to prove existence of God, or by the existence of God we can tell, because God is the creator, then the creation exists? Please use your common sense and follow me. Is it that you need the creator for the creation to exist? Or the creation is the proof for the creator? To start with, to go from down, yes, through the creation, I discover the creator. But if you want to, where does it start? The start, it doesn't start from the creation, it starts from the creator. Is it right or not? The creator is the one who creates, and hence we have creation. So to prove that things exist, there is a creator. Okay, Allah Nur al-Samawat wal-Ard, yani the Almighty God is the existence for all that exists. And hence Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, Al-Ghayrika min al-Zuhur ma laysa lak. Is there anything in this universe more apparent than you to prove your existence? It's simple language. What is this wall to show the light? Wall is dark. Carpet is dark. It is the light that illuminates the objects, not the other way around. So it is Allah Nur al-Samawat, the light, again metaphorically, the light of God casts on the universe, and then you see the universe exist. Not that the universe shows the existence of God. If that's the case, then why is it that God didn't say Allah Nawwara as-samawat wal-ard? If you have a little bit of Arabic background, you appreciate this explanation, inshallah, more. Allah Nawwara as-samawat wal-ard means that God illuminated. Like this light, brothers, sisters, these lights above us are illuminating. To be very precise, grammatically, these lights are illuminating the room. Am I right or not? Giving Nur, giving light. Quran doesn't say Allahu Nawwara. Nawwara means illumination, shedding lights. Quran says Allahu Nur. God is the Nur, is the light. You know the difference between illumination and the Nur. There's a very good reason for that, but I need your salawat to make sure you're not falling asleep. It's the night of Quran. Please just reflect. This is the tadabbur that God wants us to have on the Quran, to think, to exercise, have mental exercise in understanding the Quran. If God says that Allah nawwara as-samawati wal-ard, it would be shirk. Not only because there is Quran is not like that, it would be shirk. Why? Because nawwara, I give you an example. Imagine sun and the moon. Basic astronomy, we all know that. We all know that moon doesn't have any light from itself. So the light of the moon that you see is the reflection of a sunlight. We all know that, isn't it? So the sun is illuminating the disk of the moon. The moon already exists. It's there. I don't see it unless the sunlight reflects on it. Objects in this room already exist. I just don't see them. I need the noor, light, to illuminate them. The existence doesn't exist. It's not that the heavens and the earth exist and then God shows it to you and I. This is blasphemy. Allahu nur as-samawat wal-ard, it means with the light of God, when the rays of the light of God reflects on something, it comes to existence. There is no nur of God, no existence. That's why I told you that they say nur means existence. It's not that I am here, but you can't see me. God shows me to you. No, I'm no existent. The nur of God comes on me, I become existence. The nur of God gets away from me, I'm non-existence again. Therefore, Allah nur as-samawat, yani God is the existence of the heavens and the earth. Think of this ayah. Ya ayyuhan nas, antumul fuqara'u ila Allah. We think that antumul fuqara'u, yani we are only in need of God for penny, for dollar, for marriage, for our needs. In your existence also you are in need of God. Let alone your characters. In your very existence, my friend. And unless God gives you nur, you are non-existent. God gives you nur, the nur of God comes on you, you become more existent. Nur of God is not on you, you are non-existent. Idols, God says that in hiya illa asma'un sammaytumuha antum wa abakum. Idols are non-existent. They don't exist as deity because God has made them non-existence. Do we have a bird called like Simurgh, Phoenix with 30 heads? Non-existent. It's Quran says it's only in your mind. There's no reality for it. Okay? Therefore, two gods, non-existence. In a nutshell, nur, it means existence. Anything that God like sheds nur on it, it becomes existence. Otherwise, there is no existence for it. Do I have time to tell you one more so that I, from this philosophical issue, take you to a very nice romantic issue to finish it off with? Third layer of understanding ayah nur. If you like a little bit of spiritual romance, sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. What can we do? We are so much used to figurative love that anytime you want to speak about real life, minds go to figurative love. The third meaning, the third layer of Allah nur as-samawat wal-ard is that nur is an expression for an absolute divine beauty in Irfan. Rahmatullah alay. I heard this, I learned this, honestly, about at least 30 years ago, more than 30 years ago, from Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alay. He was talking in one half a sentence, really, a very short sentence. He made a statement that inspired me of this, and this, I studied about it later on until I discovered this. That he said, "Ishq fi'li bedun ma'shuq fi'li muhalas." Inshallah, if you are not tired, I give a quick explanation about this. Brothers and sisters, think of your life and people around you. We are all in love. We are all lovers. Undoubtedly, as healthy humans, we are all lovers. But at different stages of our life, we are in love with different things. At one time, in love, boys in love of the toys, bike, I don't know, car. You become car freak, then woman freak, then money freak, you name it. Okay? At different times. Now, at every stage and every person, those who are like love business. One tycoon businessman, I asked him that, how much do you have? He said, look, Sheikh, if I retire myself today, five generations to come, still they have to eat. So business for me is not like to take a loaf of bread home. It's a competition. Survival of the fittest. And I enjoy business. I enjoy the deal. This part of me, I love it. Now, you go to politicians and you ask them, how much do you want your territory to expand? Superpower, double superpower, the entire planet Earth is yours. I try to go to other planets. You go, excuse the example, that those who use that they think that I love to marry one, two, three, four, even if hypothetically speaking you could go temple manage for 2,000, 2 million, they say the more the merrier. In every field, if they want to give an honest answer, in every field that anyone is in love with, you ask them, how much do you want? That is the limit, my friend. That after that, say, satisfied. It's a hell character that always says, hal min mazid? Is there any more? Instinctively, you say, the more the merrier. Scientists, researchers, how far do you like to go in your research? The more the merrier. Even Zuhad Urafa, Hafez, one of the very famous Arif and Iranian poet, he says that I had an intuition and I saw huris. Don't think of male, females. Inshallah, you go experience it. Beautiful creation of God. He says from Shish Jihad, up and down, left and back and forth, left and right. From six dimensions, they surrounded me. He says, I couldn't, otherwise I would wish to have all of them. How many huris do you like to have? The more the merrier. How many palaces? The more the merrier. It's human instinct, okay? Follow me now. So instinctively, if I'm after beauty, I'm after the absolute beauty. That there's no beauty, beautiful beyond that. If I'm after authority and might and power as a politician, I want absolute authority. If I'm after knowledge, I want absolute knowledge. You tell me who is the one in the universe, in the existence, that only has the absolute infinite beauty, infinite might, infinite knowledge. In a nutshell, summarized in one word, infinite perfection, where does it rest? With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So knowingly or unknowingly, believers or disbelievers, businessmen, businesswomen, young, old, we are all in love of God. Whether we are conscious of that or we are not conscious of that, we are all in love of God. The only thing is that I think this is my God. After a while that you get satisfaction, it wasn't a big deal really. That's why those who are craving for something, give it to them. They don't feel satisfied. After that they say, yeah, it wasn't really a big deal. Still I feel that need is there. Okay? So Allahu Nuru Samawati wal Ard, as Ibn Arabi explains it, he says that everyone who is in love, he thinks he's in love with this girl, he thinks he's in love with dollar, he thinks he's in love with dunya, but God has concealed himself behind all of this. It's just, excuse the example, it's just like a beautiful girl that has covered herself, there is a veil on the face. Allahu Nuru Samawati wal Ard, it means that God is unveiling himself so that you see his beauty finally and you see the Nur. Unless you see that, there is no satisfaction. No matter how far you want to go, until you lose your life. Inshallah, before we lose, we have found that real absolute beauty. Allahu Nuru Samawati wal Ard has three meanings so far that we have learned. One, on the surface, guiding all. Second, God is the existence. Third, Allahu Nuru Samawati wal Ard is that Allah is the one that you are after. Your real beloved one is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And unless you find him, Allah bi dhikri Allah tatma'innu al-ghulub. Unless you find God, otherwise there is no peace of mind. That serenity that you find, you don't find it with your partner temporarily. You find it with, you don't find it with your business. You may temporarily. You don't find it with anything and anyone at all until Allah bi dhikri Allah. تطمئن القلوب صلوا على محمد وعلى محمد
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
Today was the 21st of the holy month of Ramadan. When we read the history, really, it's very unfortunate, subhanallah, it's really hard to believe. Amir al-Mu'minin Ali alayhi salam was struck in his capital, in his masjid, and even his funeral was so lonely happened. Today, not even during the daytime. The narrations, it says that night time tonight, Imam Ali alayhi salam's ritual bathing took place. Only a handful of family members, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, as Imam Hussein years later was asked, and Imam Hussein explains how we buried my father, Abdullah ibn Ja'far, and very few disciples of Amir al-Mu'minin attended the funeral of Amir al-Mu'minin. Why? And you know that for almost more than 100 years, for a century, the grave of Amir al-Mu'minin Asadullah al-Ghalib was unknown. Not only the grave of Fatima al-Zahra, which is steel. For over a century, no one knew where Imam Ali alayhi salam was buried. Why? Because there was a fear that la hawla wa la quwwata illa, they would take the body out of the grave. Look at this atrocity. And when I was studying the burial of the Holy Prophet of Islam, subhanAllah, we think that it was only to the household of the Prophet. Brothers, sisters, even our Holy Prophet, his funeral was so lonely it happened. They were busy fighting each other over who was going to be the Khalifa, and the holy body of the Prophet was unattended. That Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam says, for 3 days I was crying. Come, let us attend the holy body of our Prophet before we go for the Khilafah. They could not care less until I buried the holy body of the Prophet myself with the help of the angels. Where are the companions? Busy fighting each other over the politics. Imam Ali alayhi salam, before he departs this dunya, he is giving his final will and mentions to his sons, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, Muhammad Hanafiyyah, that after I depart this dunya and you finish with my bathing, ghusl and kafar, put me in a coffin, tabut, and you just follow my tabut. Angels will carry my tabut, you just follow and where you have to bury me. Subhanallah, Imam Ali was not buried in the city of Kufa, at the outskirts of Kufa, about 10 kilometers away from the town, right in the middle of the barren desert of Najaf. Literally, Najaf means a very dry, barren land. Was not a city back then, obviously, because of the grave of Imam Ali, and later on the shrine of Imam Ali became a town and city. Otherwise, it was completely a barren land out of the town of Kufa. Angels carry the coffin of Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam in a place that Imam had designated, said that when you see that my coffin, they put it there, you will see a white stone. Remove that, already made a grave is there. This is where Prophet Adam is buried. This is where Prophet Nuh is buried. And that's why in the ziyarat of Amir al-Mu'mineen, if you've been to Najaf, inshallah, make sure you go again. You say, As-salamu alayk wa ala dhaji'ayka Adam wa Nuh. Salam on you, ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. And those who are also buried with you in the same place, Adam and Nuh. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam says that we buried Amir al-Mu'mineen over there and we covered it. No sign of writing anything on the grave. At the time of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, almost 100 years later, the grave of Amir al-Mu'mineen became publicly known. Of course, Ahlul Bayt knew, but until then they didn't know. This was one grave that and one funeral that was done very privately and lonely. It reminds me again, subhanallah, of the burial of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. I can't help it. This compass of our heart, no matter where you put it, it goes towards Karbala. It goes to Karbala. La yom ke yom ke ya Abu Abdullah. Now imagine the scene. As I told you that the holy body of the Holy Prophet of Islam was left unattended, not being buried for 3 days until Amir al-Mu'minin buried the holy body of the Prophet. The holy body of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein and all the martyrs of Karbala also, 3 days on the barren land, on the plain of Karbala, days and nights, until a nearby people who live nearby Karbala, known as the tribe of Bani Asad. They came past by and subhanallah, what has been happening here? They saw people, bodies of human, headless bodies of human, soaked in their blood. Allahu Akbar, not an ordinary scene. No eyes, no heart can stand it. They said, we have to bury these bodies, but these bodies are not identifiable. We don't know who's who. As they were wondering what to do, from the side of the Kufa, a horseman is riding his horse. That was Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam. By the will of God, miraculously Imam Zainul Abidin is getting out of the jail, coming to attend the funeral of his father Hussein, of his brother Ali Akbar, of his uncle Abu al-Fazl al-Abbas. Really, without Imam Zainul Abidin and the miraculous knowledge of Imam Zainul Abidin, the Shuhada of Karbala would remain unknown forever. Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam first attends the holy body of his father Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. You imagine you go to bury your father, but a headless father, Allahu Akbar. A father that whose body is crushed under the hooves of the horses. A father that his fingers were severed to remove and snatch the ring, Allahu Akbar. Which son can stand this scene? Nevertheless, Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam dug a grave for the father, laid down the holy body of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein after wailing and crying. And then according to some riwayat, he buried his youngest brother Ali Asghar on the chest of the father, and buried Ali Akbar beneath the feet of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, and then covered the grave and wrote with his holy hand on the, with the dust on the grave, "Hada qabr al-Hussein ibn Ali alladhi qataluhu adshanan ghareeb."
Ala la'natullah على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منغلب ينغلبون أما يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء أما يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء أما يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ بِجَاهِ مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِ مُحَمَّدٍ وَبِحُرْمَةِ الْفَاتِحَةِ مَعَ الصَّلَوَاتِ
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.